Welcome to We Empower, the radio show that inspires you to embrace your potential, resilience, and strength. In these challenging times, we're here to help you unlock your power to overcome obstacles, pursue your dreams, and shape a brighter future. I'm Annabelle Tennis, your host for this empowering hour. Welcome, everyone, to another exciting episode of We Empower. I'm thrilled to have you all with us today. So sit back and get ready to be inspired. Let's make today count. In today's episode, we will have a great guest here to introduce. It's Christina Reuter from Education. And then we will talk about great, great things about education, about future, and what we nowadays need. So first, let's kick things off with a song selected by her.
There's a line on the horizon. You're like a lion in the lap. Is it a tragedy or triumph? You're so good, it's sick. Why did you swallow down my poison? No, I'm your number one fan. Make it on a desert island. Yeah, you're so good, it's sick. Now it feels like beautiful madness. Feels like never enough. Don't you know? Cash flow, we got another kind of gold. We keep a hot, no Tabasco, no sleep, no sleep. Plenty sharks in the ocean, but we still dive deep. Come and take a sip of the potion, no sleep, no sleep. Now it feels like beautiful madness, feels like never enough. Don't you know?
Hello, welcome in the show. I'm very happy to welcome here Christina Reuter.
Hi, Annabelle. Thank you for having me today.
Today's guest believes that education is far more than access to school. It is access to dignity, possibility, and future. As Country Director Switzerland of Education International, Christina Reuter helps build bridges between talent and opportunity across continents. Education began as a grassroots movement connected to ETH Zurich and today supports thousands of young people through scholarships and mentoring, entrepreneurship and leadership programs. Behind the numbers stands a deeper question. What happens to societies when talented young people are not seen? And what becomes possible when they are? Christina represents a new generation of impact leadership, globally minded, human-centered, and convinced that education is one of the strongest forces for the resilience, innovation, social transformation, in the end, for the world worth living. Thank you, Christina Reuter, to being here with us.
Thank you very much.
Christina, if you look back now, was there a special moment in your life where the young Christina said, "Yes, one day I would be in an organization like this, making sure"?
I give you an example. First of all, you have to know I grew up on the horse farm, and during that time I was focusing on horse riding and I was not traveling the world. So the first long distance flight I made was with 23 with my boyfriend at the time, and we flew to Vietnam and we had a trip out there. We were able to walk to nice rice fields and it was a very lovely day, right? And then after 2 hours walk, we entered into a big building and we got from our tourist guide a sandwich sitting down there. And then we were talking, enjoying, and I saw a big sign in that big building. This school is sponsored by XYZ. And honestly, in that moment, I felt like there's something went wrong, right? This is a school building and I'm a tourist. Why do I sit in this building? And I think this was kind of a key situation that I felt, okay, I want to be also part of it, and maybe I want to bring something in the more right direction.
But I mean, there are many, and I know there are excellent people in the world having excellent ideas. And I have a friend of mine who's really excellent. He did his journalist exam at the Harry Nunnan Journalist School, which is well known for good journalists. And every year when I see him, he tells me excellent ideas from his excellent thoughts from his journeys where he went somewhere, saw something. And you know what gets done or what he does in his field? Nothing in none of these fields. What made you doing this next step? What made you not just thinking about it? Because I think this is also a really huge challenge of our time. There are a lot of people sitting on their sofa and thinking, yes, there has to be something. And
It's true.
my friend, whom I told you about, and I won't tell you the name now because he probably became a bit offended. There's not also something he always said. He said, "Annabelle, do you remember that I showed you sometime a paper handwritten where I wrote exactly that what Steve Jobs later did?" I said, "Yes, I remember." He said, "And did I show you also that there was a year where I wrote this down on it?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Imagine if I at that time would have done it, then I will be the billiard, the one, I will be the Steve Jobs." I said, "Yes, but you didn't do it." And what made you doing it?
To be honest, after this Vietnam trip, I was working in an agency at the time and I started reading. I did the theoretical way. I bought a lot of books about developing work, about how does about all the poverty all over the world. So, and then after 1 or 2 years, I said to my boyfriend, I said, you know, I'm this guy of I want to bring the things on the ground, not so theoretically. So I quit my job and I worked in that field for a while. And so I was working on a project. And during that time, I made a lot of experience and also practical experience, met many people. And I did this for 1 year. But the thing was, I felt like, which project really convinces me? Where do I see the real sustainable impact? I mean, this is always the big question. So, to be honest, at the time, I mean, I was 25 years younger, but I wasn't totally convinced of which way should I go in that field. Then I also got 2 children, so I was concentrating, to be honest, on other fields. But during the time, I was always in personal contact with some people. So I also was kind of a mentor to some individuals. And doing this for many years, I then moved to Singapore. And I also got touch points again to that world, but more from a private perspective. And then after my time in Singapore, that was after before COVID, I moved back to Switzerland. Kids got older, my job was running well, but it was based in Asia, and I felt like I want to do something else. I want to shift my intrinsic motivation from the 20 years before again into it, because you grow, you have a better scene over the whole sector. And so I actually at the time quit my job. I stayed in the board of the company, and then I was in this kind of flight mode, or sometimes I say, and I met our group CEO for lunch for education, and I felt like, okay, it was like, okay, I like this idea. I like the vision of Education International. I like the idea of giving access to education, first of all, giving this to talented people and also underprivileged, to help them being the catalyst for their own community. And, after this lunch, I was checking out all, everything about education. I was challenging it themselves, and I realized it's not just giving access to education, it's also we work a lot with human, with mentors in companies. And I felt like, okay, I made my own the experience with individuals, but this is the way it could work out. And yes, and I was so 200% convinced that I jumped into this role. And I think, I'm not the founder of this NGO. I'm now the country director. But for me, it's very important. And I believe I have to believe in it 200% the same way as the founder did. And this is where I am today. And I'm very intrinsic motivated every day to work on this mission. And after 20 years this year, I think we can show our impact. We see the community growing. We see young talents having great jobs, creating startups. And I think this is very much worth it. So we are on it.
I think it's on the one hand the numbers, on the other hand, it is also the very personal, very emotional experiences, because education, and maybe for our listeners who don't know the organization, it is a Swiss owned or it's in Switzerland it was founded, and it was founded at the ETH, no, ETH, so very and a university with a very high reputation, well known for great students, for great quality of research, for great researchers, and they grassrooted this initiative. So it wants, not only as you said, wants to give, but you can say that much better than me. So please, please explain.
Yeah, about Education International. I mean, we try to give access to education, and we try to give that to underprivileged, very talented young people, teenage, in the teenage time.
How do you
So,
find them, Christina? How do you find them? So,
I mean, nowadays, after 20 years, we are connected to a lot of schools, and we are kind of well known now. They like our program. And what we do is actually we start during teenage time, and then we give them a scholarship, and then we look after them nearly 8 to 10 to 12 years. It's really a long time, right? So they start with a scholarship, going to better high schools. During the scholarship time, we have special programs. Like these cohorts then can join weekends of workshop, except for example, realize your potential. And then we bring the parents from the countryside to the schools to let them see where their kids are. Then we have a buddy system. So during the 4 years, it's really like they're part of the education community. And in the first years, we were focusing on scholarship, but then soon we figured out that's not enough just to give the scholarship in the first run. We have to look after them beyond this, looking which university, helping them to find jobs, or even today to create startups. And then we started 5, 6, 7 years ago working with mentoring. So it means during the program, they can apply for mentoring. Sometimes it's a one-to-one mentoring. You can imagine it's like 1 year, every 6 weeks, like we do now, a video call. And these are employees from companies, from corporates, right? And so we create kind of a, I always say, like a reverse impact situation, because this is for both sides very good. So our talents is growing and open up the horizon. And the same happens with the corporate employees, right? And this is great because that leads to not having just companies paying cash and then switching the SDG 4 logo on their website, I sometimes used to say. It's really involvement. And this combination helps to grow both sides and also helps our talents to create their personality over the years. And then we have special skilling academies, for example, 5 days in Nairobi on the topic employability, how to write a CV, how to do an interview. Or the other skilling week is about entrepreneurship, where we prepare them or to bring them into the mindset of what does it mean to be an entrepreneur? How do we create a startup? And these are also, yes, special academies where we support, right, that they can develop. And then two and a half years ago, we said, okay, is that enough? Help them to find a job. We all know there's a lot of unemployment. And we also know even if they finish with cum laude or have a great exam, sometimes they can't find good jobs. So of course we said, okay, we also have to help with entrepreneurship. And then we started the first startup award. And now we have run 11 startup awards, and our big goal is 1,000 young entrepreneurs. This is the name of the initiative. And I can tell today we have 74 startups created. And there we are very proud of, I have to say, because then we come into that circle of catalyzer, right? They now create new jobs. They start paying into social benefits, which is amazing, right? So this circle, I always say it's kind of Education International is kind of a passive support. But in the end, the young people will build their own country from the inside to the outside. And this is what we stay for.
What do you mean with build their own country?
I mean, in a way that if they create their own startup, they will be part of the economy, right? And they will have new companies in their local area, and they can give new jobs to other people. And that's what I'm saying. Like, it's not we come and tell what to do. Yes, we support with education as the key, but in the end, these talents create and keep pushing with their own economy. And this is the idea about this, yeah.
Really wonderful. Just I have, I think, at least 5 questions while we were talking. So I have no time to write them down during the small break we have. So we see each other back in 2 minutes, and then I'm looking forward to talking further to you.
The station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So, Christina, there's one big question I had when you while you were talking about startups, and you said, as I understood, you are building a kind of ecosystem, right? Do you force the people, and you have people from all over the world, do you force them to go back or stay in their home country?
I mean, in the end, we not specifically force anyone what to do. In the beginning of the program, it's a kind of giving back culture. Yes, we say, hey, we try to support you with a scholarship, and we would love it that they do the same later on in that whole network, right? So from the 3,000 talents we now supported, we have nearly 2,000 active alumni. They are on a platform, but also physically. So you can imagine we have like a lot of events, they meet each other, right? So mostly 95% want to help to give back to their country people, right? And also want to build a startup in their own community. And I also have to say, I always say we support entrepreneurship on the basic, right? That means for me, sometimes there are ideas we maybe have already here in Europe. It's not always about a unicorn which goes crazy and scales into many countries, right? If I talk to my partners, they say, okay, yeah, this is great, right? I mean, maybe it sometimes happened. But in general, it's also stabilize the community and come up with also companies who maybe we have already, but they don't have. And this is what we want, right? Giving that access to entrepreneurship.
I like that. Because it puts, of course, otherwise a lot of more pressure on people to say, please prepare me the next unicorn in your country.
Exactly. I say it can happen.
Yeah, or you are education, so you have to. And this is, of course, also really good what you do, that you give us a freedom to for development, freedom for development, which might be different than maybe somebody else has an idea about, but which is exactly that what freedom means, right? Freedom of thinking, freedom of development. Do you have also, you said you have 3,000 people, 3,000 alumni, 2,000 of them are still active. This is really a big number. Mm-hmm. Is there also a kind of organization in between them that you talked about events where maybe other people can meet these, where maybe other people get an idea about what they do, or maybe also a list of all the startups which have to be put together?
Absolutely. We have a Global Young Alliance, GYLA, this is the name of our alumni. On purpose, we didn't call it education alumni because it's going to be if we scale into other countries. And on this platform, you know, we have a lot of emotional blog articles, what's going on. We have active members who work there for no money, right? Like as a volunteer. And this we also count as a giving back part, right? They sometimes have their own job already or startup, but they even participate in some specific programs, right? So it's kind of a community in each country, and this is great. For example, I told you we have the 74 startups built it, and then we did last year an happening with the alumni startups to bring them together, to connect, right? I mean, you know how it is. You have to talk to people, you have to open doors, and this is, I think, also specifically important for our talents because, I mean, to be honest, probably most of these families, they have not the background of sitting by dinner and saying, hey, tomorrow I want to build a startup. Maybe we ask some friends and family and get some money in. This might be most of the time different. And that's where we come in somehow, right? It's not just trying to get grant monies. It's also to provide network, to mix the societies with each other, to get that open door, to get connection, to maybe then after our award get another investor. Of course, they should go their way. And therefore, we do a lot for the alumni community. It's also a lot of work, but super worth it. And I think it's really key to also, you know, bring that mission on another level. For example, this year we celebrate our 20 years anniversary in Zurich, and then and also in October. So we bring in some alumni from the very early days. I mean, this is wonderful. We're still in contact, and they, you know, because I say 8, 10, 12 years, that's a long time, right? So this is the way we do it.
Nice. How many percentage is female? How much percentage is male?
It's nearly half-half. Mm-hmm. Maybe a bit more female, but we do not focus on male or female.
That's great. And is it that you have special countries which are overrated?
Overrated in terms of what?
Where you have most of the startups, most of the people.
I mean, to be honest, we are in Kenya today, mm-hmm. and in the Philippines. And in Kenya, we were running the Startup Awards. And the first award in the Philippines will take place this year. I just got the money for the setup, and now we do the first time in the Philippines.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah, I mean, it takes a while to implement the whole program, to adapt to the new country. And so we are very happy, yeah, to go forward with the program in the Philippines now.
Wow. If we go back, maybe you said there are also already people which were graduated in the first year from education or which were supported. Mm-hmm. Are you allowed to say what they get, how much money or they get?
During the scholarship, they don't get any money. We pay straight ahead the school fees from mm-hmm. Zurich to the school. Mm-hmm. Right. And we guarantee the 90% going straight ahead to the school, so no big overhead costs. And for the award, I can also tell you that's the only part where money is flowing somehow. It's the grant money, right? They get grant money. And we have a stage one, that's more the basic, where they pitch their idea. They are very in the beginning. So we have 10 winners. Each gets a $1,000. And then we have a stage two. Usually they have already one FTE, they are an entity, and they're already a bit more stabilized. And then we have 3 winners, and each winner gets the $10,000, which is a good grant money. Important to know is that we do not just do an award. We have mentors before to help them with their pitch or with their pitch deck, right? Mm-hmm. And then they go through mid-jury and grand jury. And then after we define the winner, we have mentors again for a whole year at least mm-hmm. to support the winners during the year after to do some wisdom decision with the steps, where to go with the budget, what's the way go forward. And I think this is also important, right? That kind of this, you know, as I said, this passive support in the background, because I think you always need someone to talk to exchange. I mean, this is wonderful to see. There are quite some relation beyond that mentoring, right? Where I know from one of our talents, I said, yeah, every 6 weeks I call my old mentor, right? Because I still have some question. I have this platform built, but sometimes I need his, I don't know, tech skills. And I like this because we give the impulse in the beginning and you never know what comes beyond, but quite often it creates a long-term relationship, right?
That's really, really nice. Which story of a student or entrepreneur supported by education has stayed with you long after the conversation ended?
There was actually, to be honest, it was Daisy. When I flew to Nairobi last October for the first time, I first of all met her and I was listening like one-to-one to her story. And you know, I could see her story. I mean, she had like a crazy background and went through a lot of things and was super grateful to get the scholarship. And then in the end, she was best in class. She's the first bioengineering female in that hospital ever. And that made us very proud, right? And then when I had lunch with her, she said, you know, on a side, I also do another business. I want to sell amputees, like devices to people for a lower price because they are not seen in Kenya. And I'm like, okay, wow. I mean, you just got that 100% job, right? And now you build up this own startup with a platform where you want to sell the devices. And then you also open up a little NGO for amputees people in Kenya. And then she invited me the next day for her kickoff that was super spontaneously. So what I wanted to say is that's like a crazy case of giving back, right? I mean, she's like, wow, she's a power woman on one hand, but she also wants to give something back to societies. And I think this is great.
Thank you for sharing this example with us. I mean, compared to this, what have conversations with young talents in emerging economies taught you about resilience that many Western societies may have forgotten?
I think in our world, we take it for granted, right? For us, it's like, yes, you go to school, this is free, and you go to a good school and probably to a good university with a great reputation. I have myself teenagers, kids, and in this field where you have underprivileged people, this is not taken for granted. Plus, they have already a completely different background. They went through so many challenging situations in life, which we cannot even imagine, right? And then on top, they have the power to then grab chances. And this impresses me, right? So what I want to say also is, I feel like, I mean, it's not a good thing that they sometimes go through difficult times, but I feel also it makes them more resilient, right? Kind of, because they will be not, let's say, shocked by any teacher who is a little bit rude, or I don't know, right? You know what I mean? This kind of, sometimes in our societies, we're very sensible, right? Sensitive, and everybody is complaining. And I always think, hey guys, we have great schools, we have great teachers, let the teachers do their job and not us as parents, you know, complaining. If you see other parts in the world where people are just happy to go to school, and that's what I mean.
Absolutely, I'm absolutely with you. And I hope that there are ideas on how we can bring this back, maybe bring the educationers, the alumni into school where others are sitting and maybe telling their story, right? Mm-hmm. So in a world obsessed with AI and technology, why do you human mentorship and trust become even more important?
Well, I think this will be the key magic that emotional intelligence is what we still have, right?
Yes.
So with this craziness of AI in the last months, I always think, you know, this is the most important part. Talk to people, right? Have the exchange of the real world and not, you know, get that bias of yes, saying yes, yes, yes. My daughter came the other week and said, Mommy, I'm really fed up with ChatGPT. I'm like, what is this, right? She works a lot with it. He says always yes to everything I ask him. So taking this example, I think this is very, very much important to have contact to human being and to have some wisdom, real experience from different people, right? And so I will always support these mentorship programs we're running a lot with the employees of companies.
Thank you so much. Many young people globally struggle with uncertainty, pressure, and loss of direction. I mean, this small sample you shared with us of your daughter, thank you so much for this. I mean, I think it shows also that she looks from it at a wider perspective, which is great. But what gives young talents, what gives also maybe what also gives your daughter this inner strength, that technology is not seen as a kind of god where you have a lot of people, especially in Germany. Germany is rated being the country which is most of all countries in the world trusting to everything ChatGPT says.
I think important is the dialogue to the people you live with, right? And in general, not just with AI, I think we should challenge anything people say you too, right? And ask behind. But I think we have to be very carefully, even with the even younger generation than my daughter, that we keep thinking ourselves. And I think this is the big risk nowadays, right? I always think, oh, I'm happy I have the teenagers now. They were learning to read, they read books, they maybe have their own thoughts. And hopefully there will be this part of people using AI as an add-on, but keep thinking themselves. The other part, I'm worried sometimes if we lose this. And I think it makes us to kind of not self-thinking people. And this is risky because then we are guided by a tech and I don't want to have that, to be honest.
I'm absolutely with you. The vision should be one where humanity, the skills we have, the values we have, is more than just a kind of stop for technology, right? So we have now a small break, approximately 2 minutes, and please stay tuned. We're back in a small moment.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
The station that makes you feel good.
Christina, we just talked before the break about the situation of nowadays young people. And yes, I think we both know that this is something which is really challenging. I mean, of course, also the previous generation said every generation is challenging. And maybe also the generation who started with having cars instead of horses was really challenged. And maybe the generation which got sudden a phone and television was challenged. So every challenge needs, of course, resilience, awareness, vision, stability. Do you think that this is currently something which is more than that in the past? Is it now maybe this disruption, this revolution, is this something different than beforehand, the hundred of years beforehand?
In general, I agree it's always, a new generation thinks, hey, you are the old one, and the other one thinks it doesn't work out. I would say also the new generation will make it. Of course, we believe in the new generation. The only part when you say what's maybe the difference, I would say from a personal perspective, it's this super being addicted to this digital world. That's the only part where I think, wow, this is really different, being online all the time, and also listen to how do you call it, shorts or reels. There, I'm not sure if this might change in terms of thinking. I had these example. I had a conversation this week, and then a younger lady, she said to me, you sent me this article. I sent an article to her. And then she said, and then I was wondering, I thought, you're now reading an article. And then she said, Gen Z, she said to herself, then I realized I do not read articles that often. I go for shorts and for reels. So she showed me a big difference. And in this case, I'm not sure. What does it do with innovation maybe in the future? I can't tell you, but I might assume sometimes a little bit of, do you think in the longer term? I don't know, but what this is for me a risky part that the young generation has everything in short, fast food packages.
It's interesting that you mentioned this. There's a creative location nearby Berlin, and in the past I spent there some time with events were taking places, and there was a lot of creative stuff we could take to prepare for a consulting job. For just structuring a new idea, structuring a new business model, and so, and this procedure or this process was always framed by taking one day or taking 2 day, then preparing, proposing, presenting afterwards, and so giving it back to the public in a structured way. And before Corona, it was always. Always people were wanted deeply to take part there. It was always sold out, crowded. Now, after COVID, it really dropped down. And we discussed this a few days ago and said exactly that what you said, Christina. We said, the creativity is too complicated for a lot of people, young people. The time going in and the going into the unknown is too risky for them. They don't want to go into the unknown. They don't want to go into creative, which is for what is this now? Tell me. And this is too much for them. They feel insecure about that and frightened.
I have this concern, as I also said before, but I also want to mention the other way around. I think this is also very important. I mean, the young generation are so quick, with AI now, with Claude and ChatGPT and Perplexity. And when I went to Nairobi in October, I was myself a coach for Entrepreneurship Academy. So I had this group of young people and they created an idea through the whole week. And the goal was at Friday to pitch day, there was like an exercise to pitch their idea. And then I have to say, I was super impressed how they all, you know, used already AI in a very good way. I give you an example. I mean, think about a competitor analyze, right? Think about it in the past, 3 years ago, or even more. You had to do a lot of work, right? Research, talk to people, maybe even go there. Of course, you had Google. And now it's like, wonderful. They did a competitor analysis. And then we had the discussion about, oh, this is great now, wonderful. And then we said, okay, we have the five competitors, but what's going on? And then they came like, but the other one, the Insta account is dead. That's going to be not the right way. So in the end, we had three. And then they even visit physically the one company. So what I want to say, they also have another kind of style to work very quickly and to straight ahead, like, okay, we use cloud, therefore we use this. So this is the very cool part, right?
Absolutely. And what you are talking about, this speed up, this doing things in a quick way. I mean, on the one hand, this is great. On the other hand, we know that our process in the brain is not made for digitization. It takes some time. It has just 100% energy for a day. This is limited. We humans, we are not made for living 250 years long. Mm-hmm. So we have our limitations, which is good, because if we combine it with complementation, with breaks and so on, we can profitize from this. But breaks is not something we're just harmonizing that much with digitization currently. Mm-hmm. So what are your personal hacks, or also maybe that what you learned from the education alumni, what you do or what they do to keep their mind really centered, fresh, powerful?
My personal text, you call it, is actually movement in various forms. I like to go for running, for swimming in the nature, and I like to go for Bikram yoga, to go for hiking. And it's the, in my case, it's the variety of kind of movements which brings me into the middle somehow.
That's what I really like, what you said, that you have a kind of variety, that it's not focused, it's not in boxes, it's just about bringing you in movement, right? Mm-hmm. In different ways. That's very nice. And I think it would help us, a lot of more people, to have it like this and not strict, like, oh, I have to do this every morning at 8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. I have to do this. Because if you get out of this rhythm, then you're out of the rhythm. And then getting back into the rhythm is quite hard.
Yeah, and I think everything which we do too much, we know it, right? If we, you know, if we do one sport too much, mostly one of your pieces of your body get hurt. It is like this. And so I think to stay healthy, maybe you need some balance, right?
What is your advice, seeing how do you get underestimated talents into being great entrepreneur, being great leaders? What do you think can learn school from this, and how can school learn from this, knowing that school is something which is quite dominated by bureaucracy, even if school wants to be different?
Not 100% sure if I understand the question in the right way, maybe.
So for me, it's about what can a school learn from education?
Ah, okay. definitely the mentorship. You know, bringing external thoughts. If you ask me, this is my ad hoc answer, right? You asked me before, what's so important with human being compared to AI, right? And I think if in the school, he even would have more mentoring and impulses from the outside, I guess this would give also effort to the students from normal schools everywhere.
Yeah. And how could we realize this? I think, would it need maybe that schools go into education classes? So classes at you?
No, but I'm just thinking, I mean, it could be that they collaborate with others, and then bring in external impulses to individual students, maybe in schools, if we talk about very general. I mean, why not, right? Because I always say, a mentor, what's a mentor? A mentor can be my sister, can be my brother, can be my neighbor, my first boss in my internship, right? It's so various, but I'm also fan of sometimes maybe you have, we come back to various mentors, maybe you have two, three. Why not? Because they have other thoughts, other ideas, other wisdom, other experience. And why not having a mentor during primary school and having another mentor during high school and another mentor during university for our schools here? But this is just a brainstorm now with you.
Of course. We often talk about poverty economically. I mean, this is usually right. But how much of poverty is actually also psychological, lack of confidence, visibility, or hope? And I want to give you a sample of what I mean with this. I had a colleague and he said, "Oh, this person is somebody I won't support." I said, "Why?" We were talking about a student. He said, "Oh, she was born with a golden spoon." I said, "Where do you know it from?" He said, "Oh, she looks so like, oh, okay, she's very Gucci." And so I said, "Yeah, but I mean, you are her teacher, aren't you? You are not somebody who have to judge her. And do you know about her parents?" He said, "No, but it looks like." I said, "Okay, but is it not fair that this student has a chance whether her parents are God or whether her parents are not there anymore or where she was born in a slum or was born in a billionaire's house? I mean, it's her, it's not her parents, isn't it?" And then he said, "Yeah, I see it differently." And then it came out that this woman, she came out of a very poor family. And she was the first to study it against the will of her parents. And she earned her money for this fee of the university with modeling. That's what she why she looked that way. She was wearing the clothes she got as a present after the shootings. And first, I found this unfair from him. Second, it started me thinking, isn't it that sometimes also the ones which were born with a lot of money, but with no emotions, with no support, with maybe no trust in you're getting a great person because, in a way, like, oh, you get it, so take
I
it.
mean, coming back to your question, I think in general, poverty is structural, but which I mean, of course, I'm not so naive that I don't can't imagine if you grow up in a pure surrounding that maybe sometimes, let's say you have a family and they have seven children and they do not have the chances to grow the family setting, that sometimes it comes into a psychology sadness somehow, or not believing anymore in how does it really work now? Does someone of my kids, like, I don't know, go another way and support us? But I think that's where we fall, right? We want to come to that point and say, no, send your young people to the schools, right? We believe in you, and you have to tell your kids that you still believe in it, maybe even if you kind of weren't that successful. That doesn't mean, right? So meritocracy is one of our big values in the NGO, and also personally, I think this is the big frame we should talk about, as you mentioned your example, right? You never know the background. And I think it's very risky to define before you know the information, right?
Exactly. Unfortunately, we come to an end for today. If you could change one thing about how the world how the word works nowadays. If you could put a sign somewhere for the word's path, what should stand on the sign? What would be that?
Well, that we all work together on giving access to education because there are still 250 million people on the whole world do not have access to education. And I think it's should be our all goal to get that access and then to create a better life in certain countries and communities.
Thank you so much. I think also education is the key. It's a key not only for a human future, it's not only the key for developing countries, it's not only the key for a sustainable future, but also for for a future worth living in, right? So maybe one word for what are your goals with education, just very short.
Our goals with education, we want to bring our impact circle into other countries in the future. We're working on a franchise, social impact franchise license right now. We have already supporters, so we want to bring that 20 years experience into other countries.
Great. Thank you so much. Christina, it was such a pleasure with you. Also a pleasure of having so much hope here in the room. And I would be really pleased if you can grow and education can really grow worldwide in all our countries which it should go. And I'm happy if I can support in any way. So I hope that you all have taken something away for yourself. Or it has piqued your curiosity and you are happy to get involved in any way. That wraps us our today's episode of We Empower, the weekly radio show dedicated to celebrating the strength, resilience, and limitless potential of women and men around the globe. Join us again next week as we continue on this empowering journey, sharing real stories of triumph, upliftment, and empowerment. Your presence and your engagement mean the world to us. And we appreciate you taking the time to tune in. Remember, this time is a gift also for you to discover new inspiration, embracing exciting insights, and finding the motivation to live life to the fullest. Every moment you can do it. Don't hesitate to get involved. Your voice is valued. And together, we can make a difference. Thank you for being part of our community. Until next time, keep shining and empowering others. Together, we rise.
And there's a line on the horizon. You're like a lion in the lion. Is it a tragedy or triumph? You're so good, it's sick.